Start again, and I'm apologizing to anybody listening to this recording. I just had my teeth done, and you can kind of tell by the way I'm talking, but that's fine. So we're back doing Hilchot Amir La'akum, things that you can have a non-Jew do. We are 244. We're in Halacha 5, so it'll be Reish Mem Daled Hey. Yesh lehakel lemsor enochri ha-halak perot b'shabbat b'kablanut v'yizkiru b'yado et ha-efsharut l'halek et ha-maspo or ha-maritza or ha-tracto ha-mapore al yedei nochri b'shabbat v'anochri adat al-anashe ka-avid. So the halachot that we've been talking about is there's two ways you can pay somebody. You can either pay somebody hourly or you can pay by the project. In general, paying by the project, we can be much more makel, because of the fact that we can say, well, they can do whatever it is at any time. So in this halacha, we're talking about harvest, clearly. A tractor, you know, we're talking about like collecting fruit or whatever it is. So you can have a non-Jew doing some of these agricultural activities if they're doing it as a couple of, on the basis of a couple of notes. Okay? ואף שהוא נעשה במקום הנחשב כבית ישראל משום מצוות יישוב ארץ ישראל יש להקל בזה גם במקום שידוע שהפירות הם של ישראל. So we've talked about different things that could be, we can be lenient on this din. So anytime that you have a mitzvah that is conflicting with the yisur, so the mitzvah would take. So there is an independent mitzvah, according to some opinions. This is actually machloket whether or not settling Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah atzmo, but Lamasi, we treat it, even if it's not one of the 613, we still treat it as mitzvah. And therefore, anything that you do to settle the land, settling land doesn't mean just plunking your tush there. Settling the land also means development. That the land was meant to be built up. So therefore, he's saying, even in a situation where somebody would know this is a Jewish field, and you have this non-Jew working there on Shabbat, it's okay, because this is part of Yeshuv Yisrael. We're trying to have Israel built up. Mutar liyehudi limsor et rechvo ba'erev Shabbat l'tikun b'mosek shel goy shekol paralav goyim al manat lekablo b'yom rishon b'boker k'shehu mitukan v'tanai shekatzav lo sikum tashlum siyum ibur abdo v'gam yesh shahut ha'maseket b'yad goy למצא את התיקונים בערב שבת או במוצי שבת, ואז אפילו אם נוכרי ממצא את התיקונים בעצם יום השבת מותר. הויל, ואין עומד לגוי לעבוד שבת, אלא גוי עושה כן על דעת עצמו. So that was a lot. That was a long sentence. I apologize for going run on. But this is much more nogea to us city folk. We don't necessarily have tractors in our backyard here. But we certainly pass our cars over to mechanics all the time. And so it's talking about very common situation, ideal situation, that since we're not using our cars anyway, we just like to give it over to the mechanic for them to do stuff. And, well, people won't realize this is potentially an issue. So it's allowed. As long as you're not paying by the hour, paying by the project, that's one condition. The other condition is that there's some space for them to have worked on it, you know, what we would call plausible deniability, that you have to bring it in either early enough that they could have worked it on Shabbat and just chose not to, or that you don't come pick it up right away after Shabbat, right? If you brought it in right before Shkia and did Havdalah, went right there, no. So that's what he's talking about. But if you, let's say, bring it in, let's say you finish work at like 2 in the afternoon, you bring it in, and then like you go by, you know, you say, hey, can I go by Sunday? A lot of places, if you work out with them, they'll give you a way to pick up the key. Even if they're not open, they'll give you a way to pick up the key somewhere. So that would be acceptable, that kind of arrangement, because then it's not per se work commission on Shabbat. Okay? The im asar el erechev the tikkun kishizman hayam tzumtzam v'ein shehur mafseket b'yedei anochi livtzar el tikkun erechev eleim kem ya'avo be'etzem ha'shabbat v'achtila in osan lezen shahare zeh ka'omer lo b'ferush she'avod avuro b'shabbat. So he's saying even more lenient than I was getting at before. He's saying within that time, lehatchila, meaning the halakha you should really follow, is don't do that because it does make it look like you're doing, you're asking explicitly to do work on Shabbat. But again, the lashon of lehatchila is important. במקום צורך יש להקל בזה, גם אם ישלים את התיקונים בשבת, ואפילו אם המוסך שנוס נמצא באיזור שגרם ליהודים, וידוע שיש הקר בין המכוניות של יהודים ובין המכוניות של הנוכרים, וכל זאת אין חוש במערית עין שחשדו לנוכרי, הוא שחד יום יהודי, כיוון שדבר ידוע, הכל נעשה בקבלנות, ואחינו האשכנזים מחמירים בזה. Okay, so what he's saying is that if you do end up in a tight spot where, you know, let's say you got to go to a wedding, Motzei Shabbat, you could do it. Even if the car is identifiable, you know, you got your Beit Yaakov of, you know, of Narnia. I don't know, I picked Narnia. So you slap that on there. You would still be allowed to do it because everybody knows, you don't, even though they charge for the time, everybody knows you're not paying for the time. You're paying for the project to be done. But what he does say is that Ashkenazim are Mahmir. And he always says, Ahenu Ashkenazim, because it shouldn't be a thing that we have basically two halachot and they're in opposition. It's not in opposition, it's just you follow your posek and that's it. So he always uses that phrase when he brings the Ashkenazi halacha. And again, or not again, I guess this is probably the first time I'm saying this, when Rav Vadia, or his son, Yaakov Yosef, was actually his son, Yaakov Yosef, who put it together, this is Rav Vadia's opinion of what Ashkenazim should do. So you can end up in a situation where an Ashkenazi will look at what he said and say, that's not the halakha by us. You know, he didn't ask Ashkenazim per se, like, what should I stick in my book? He knows the halakha, he knows the halukim, he knows the svarot, and he, in a sense, paskins for Ashkenazim. To what extent Ashkenazim will follow his psakim? Great question. I don't have an answer. Okay. So that was Vav. We're going on to Zayin. Zayin. Malachash nasit betalush letzorech kviya mechovar kagon sitor avanim o tikon korot kadesh kova'am b'binyan afiru in nasit malamalacha b'beira goi b'kabalanut asol asotu b'shabbat. Kol she'en menaheg rov b'nei ha'ir la'asot malacha l'vazon kablanot. So malacha that's done on something that is talush. Talush is separating. So in other words, he's talking about things that you would put onto a building, but you would do them first on the side. So think, for example, you have like, you know, the stucco, they have all these fancy things on the outside of the stucco. It's really just styrofoam. So you have these factories that will carve up the styrofoam and then bring the styrofoam over, glue it to your wall, and then cover it with stucco, and it looks like a building, even though you can push your thumb right through it, right? So that's the kind of case that he's talking about where you shouldn't do that. You should not do that. But only in a place where that melacha is not usually done by kablanut, you know, that you pay by the hour or whatever it is. And if you do it, you should not use it for the building. That becomes the issue. There's two issues whenever you have an isur. You have an isur on the gavra and an isur on the hefza, to use the Brisker language. In other words, you're not allowed to do something. And what happens to the object you did it on? So a lot of several times throughout Hilchos Shabbat, you'll actually find that you can't actually use the object, because then you would just get the benefit. Like, in other words, like, why shouldn't I? And like, oh, I did it. Oops, I'm sorry. So, and say, no, you can't do it. This comes up a lot with food on Shabbat. Once we get into food on Shabbat, you know, trying to do a trick, it's like, oh, I can eat this food, and then it ends up you can't do it. And it ends up being very complicated halachot, obviously, because we want to make sure that you do it right so that you don't end up not eating what you cooked. Okay? So that only, he qualifies in saying, that's only when it's your building materials that you give to them. Okay? So he's saying stones or beams, what I was talking about, the styrofoam. So generally speaking, you don't have styrofoam lying around your house, so you're like, hey, carve it up and stick it in my wall. You would, however, like, for example, you might have a decoration. My wife decided she liked this heart, and she thought it was really cute. And when we were having the siding done, she had the siding guys nail up that thing. So it does come off, but it's a little more rare. Generally speaking, we don't have our own building materials. Another time that I would think that would come up a lot, maybe he'll address it, is by sukkah. You're having somebody build your sukkah. That's your materials. And you're going to have a goy come in and build your sukkah on Shabbat. That would be an issue. But we're going to see. Maybe he'll address it. And maybe it won't be an issue. But we'll go further. Afilu im osekin tzorek ha-Yisrael, im enon osekin bebeto shi Yisrael mutar, olofei mutar razmin sheyesh avnin v'ninan behabra shel goyim, afilu im ha-chavra olveret b'shabat b'tziur ha-shayish ha-avanim, olet sitod ha-avanim, anachasnan le-binyan. So, if you have a situation where you have these, you know, construction company, you have the pavers or whatever it is, it's their material, they're bringing it over, even if they're doing it on Shabbat for you, as long as it's a non-Jewish company that's doing it, you can have them come and do this. And, you know, this will happen. The guys, you know, guys want to come in on Saturday to, you know, do your driveway. Do your driveway. Mehevra shel goyim. I was saying there, Hevra is a company. Right. And it's also mutar to hire them to build furniture for you. Ve'im ha'chavra hivya lo et rehid ve'atzmam yom ha'shabar ve'yev shalo shalo lekaber ha'schora mutal atet legoy en ha'mafteach ba'bayet ve'goy ha'niach sham et rehud. כשמובן שהסור יהודי לחתום על קבלת המשולח. So if the company does come and they do this work on Shabbat and they won't do the work without you paying them, you're allowed to give them a key and they can let themselves in to get it because they... it just has to be understood, you know, that the Jew's not going to lock them out, right? So, because you're working with competing considerations. Halakha is that workers are supposed to be paid on the day they do the work. Torah does not specify it's a Jew. So he's saying, like, somebody did work for you, you have to pay. So he gives this etzah how you can do it, because obviously handling the money is mitzvah. So you can't give them the money yourself, but you can tell them, you know, go over there. Okay. Hi. Mi shiatz agag v'yesh sorech l'shpoch mayim al agag. Mispar yamim achar hetz yitzika in atir letzrok mayim b'shabbat avar b'yesh eskirut poen boi kablanut. Okay, so I'm not an expert in roof construction, but apparently in order to, I guess, season the roof or something like that, you know, you talk to people down south, they get their, you know, their cast iron pots, they season the pots, right? They put the oil in, all right? So I guess it's the same idea. It's like pouring water on the roof to, I guess, seal it or test if it works or whatever it is. He's saying that you can't do even sorry, if it's a kablanut type of matzav. You definitely can't let a Jew do this either, right? This becomes one of those questions. There's something called makeh b'patish, right? Finishing, putting the final blow on an object, even though it's mechubar to the house, it's either construction or it's giving the final blow, either which way, and you can't definitely, right? Like, why would you think it's mutar? Right? Maybe I'm coming at the wrong direction. Why would you think it's okay? Right? It's just water. Right? You're just pouring water. You're not actually hammering in a nail. All the construction is done. You're just doing this kind of like weird thing. And like maybe you think, like, oh, no big deal. He's saying no, because it's part of the construction process, even though it's not construction per se, it's a sword. If possible, what you could do is operate your sprinkler on a timer and have the sprinkler do it, right? At Bizman is that everybody knows what an automated sprinkler is. Nobody suspects that you put it on. I remember back in the day when I was your age, right? You had to, and you can still buy them. You know, you get your hand sprinkler, and you move it here. You're walking around, but everybody knows what an in-ground sprinkler. When I was a kid, like nobody had an in-ground sprinkler. Like we'd heard of them. I guess some rich people had them, but like it wasn't a thing in my neighborhood. I'd be interested to see what my neighborhood looks like. My old neighborhood looks like now. So what he says is that if your roof is going to be ruined because you don't do this, he gives you an advice, and this is essentially stringing two kulot together, because there's an isser to use a goy, and this is called shvut, rest, right? The rabbinic prohibition, all these rabbinic prohibitions kind of fall in this category. A lot of them fall into this thing called shvut, rest. And so if you put two rest things together, you put a rabbinic way of doing a rabbinic thing, a shvut, the shvut, you can actually make the thing mutar. So what he would say is like, okay, you couldn't have your automatic sprinkler do it. You couldn't just leave it alone. So what you do, if the roof is going to like crack, right, that would be a hefsimin rubah, right? Even if it's easy to seal it up, if the thing's going to crack and you're going to end up with leaks in your house, that's definitely hefsimin rubah, a substantial loss. Then what he would say to do is have the goy, like, I guess, bring up like a board and they splash the water against the board, and then the water would like fall on the roof, which nobody does that. And then it's very clear the reason that they're doing this bizarre thing is because of Shabbat, it's Nikar, and then it's clear that the person's not Jewish. It's Mutar if you do it that way. Okay. Tight. 9. יש אומרים שמותר לתת את בגדיו למחפשה שבעלי הנוכרים, אפילו אם הנוכרי מחפש בשבועת. So he says some people say that it is permissible to give your clothes to a laundromat that will wash your clothes on Shabbat. Or dry cleaner. Same thing, right? That the Hiddush with... All right, so jumping ahead maybe a little bit, but just to explain, washing your clothes, you don't need to use soap and water to be liable for washing your clothes. You just need to use water. Like, that's enough to be oved. And obviously that is going to raise a lot of questions. But dry cleaning, they don't use water. That's why it's quote-unquote dry cleaning. It is a liquid. I don't suggest you go swimming in it. It is highly toxic. So that still would be kvisa, right? That is a normal way of cleaning the clothes with this particular chemical. Okay, it doesn't have to be with water. So he's saying, yeah, you can do that. And he qualifies, you shouldn't tell them, like, wash it on Shabbat. Well, you know, bebeged, so even if it's obvious that it's Jewish clothing, I'm not sure he's talking about tzitzit. Well, I think he's about to answer my question, but you know, if you're giving over, let's say, the kids, they have all these sweatshirts from camp or the bar bat mitzvah, and it's Yankees bar mitzvah, and like it's going there. And I was like, it's pretty clearly Jew. Okay, v'yesh holkim v'sovrim shekol shenirei shehu beged sheyudi kamo talit o me'il sherevanim kadomo asolem soro. So he gives two examples. One would not be my example, and one would be a talit. So he's saying, which is in it, so he's saying that you could give a talit during the week, but don't do it on Shabbat, and don't give a me'il sherevanim. What's a me'il sherevanim? A frock coat, or basically any long coat, a bakasha, rekel. Jalabia, if you're Timini and you're old school, anything like that, that it's identifiable. And I guess going with the Svara, where we live, Yankees Bar Mitzvah's sweatshirt, also Mestama, would probably be a problem. On many levels. Okay. But people who are Mako do have what to rely on. And especially now that everything is done, right? You don't pay by the hour, you pay by the load, right? In fact, I think when you give them the laundromat, if it's dry cleaning, you pay per article, and laundromat, you pay by the pound, I believe. V'im masalo bege b'yom shishi, v'kavara imo l'kachato b'yom ahad. So this goes back to the same issue. Can you go in Erev Shabbat, shove it in the person's face, go back Motzei Shabbat and come get it? So that would kind of look like you're telling them, do it for me on Shabbat, right? Maybe like, you know, Sunday might already be okay, right? Because Motzei Shabbat is called Yom Ahad, right? We have that dissonance between the solar and the lunar days. You know, maybe if you go pick it up like Sunday afternoon, that might already not look like it. But yeah, if you kind of get the two times too close together, where there's not, again, plausible deniability, that would not be acceptable. Okay, so we'll go on a Yud, 10. Keep going. All right, let's do it. Aposech ima goish yivnevro ebeto o lektsoet sadehu o habayet o sadeh betoch atahum shiragim anshiyain alefamim lelech lesham asolo lanecham lasot lo. So if you did set up with a goy to build a building, to harvest your field, if that field or house or field, that's what he says, is within the area that people will regularly walk. Then you shouldn't have them do this malacha on Shabbat, because people who are watching this won't know you did it on Kavlanut and will think you hired the guy to do it on Shabbat. So everything that we've been saying before has kind of been turned on its head, right? We've been saying, yeah, you can do that, it's Kavlanut, but no. The case would be, you're a landlord, you know, you own a building in the Bronx, and like, there's no Shomer Shabbat Jews. I don't know there's any Shomer Shabbat Jews left in the Bronx at this point. You know, there may be that guy. That's not true. There are Shomer Shabbat Jews in the Bronx, but not as many as there used to be back in the day. But so you, okay, let's leave New York alone. You know, let's go to Nebraska, right? You know, Omaha, Nebraska. Nobody's going to think that it's a Jew's building. But if you go and you do it in Borough Park, now you got an issue. Certainly Eretz Yisrael is going to be, but again, we have that leniency by Eretz Yisrael. So property-wise, we kind of have like three categories. So we have property in Eretz Yisrael, which has this mitzvah attached to it of Yishuv Yisrael. We have property outside of Israel that's in a place where everybody knows that there's Jews around. And then there's property that nobody would really know is Jewish unless you know what you're looking for. You know, one of the funniest things I saw once was crossing the border from California to Tijuana, and the store that's right there on the border has a mezuzah. It's still a walled city. Not essential. So, like, I don't know how many people notice that, but, like, you know, nobody thinks there's a Jew there, you know. Then again, nobody thinks there's any Jews in Tijuana, and there happens to be a community there. But that's different. That's a different story. Okay. So, they came Paulim, Goyim, Shem, Shapsim, Dira, Avor Yehudi, Sorech, and he's saying also somebody who's I was going to say tricking out, like improving, you know, do renovations. That's all. You don't trick out an apartment. Okay. So you need to stop them from doing this on Shabbat. But again, right? Borough Park, no. Nebraska, yes. And if a house like this was built be Easter on Shabbat, he's saying you should, it's proper to, I did, but I could stay, I could
I know, we need to have at least 7 guys.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Yeah, so he's saying that if it was done be Easter, you just shouldn't use the building. And he said, but if you built a store on Shabbat, then you could go in once it becomes a weekday. Or only on a weekday. Yeah, only on a weekday. So if you do end up in a situation where you hired contractors to build your house, not a house, Beit Knesset, that's important. It's a Beit Knesset in Chutz Laaretz, and the Hanhala of the Beit Knesset didn't know that this was being done on Shabbat, and it's known that most people contract houses on Kavlanut, which is everyone Bezman is at, you would be allowed to use that Beit Knesset. No problem. There's a number of reasons why this is permissible, and you shouldn't even be machmir on that issue. We good? We good? All right.